Begin reading in verse 1, where the Bible says, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grants you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for this Christmas season where we've been able to sing songs of your birth and of your entrance into this world. And God, we thank you that when you came, you brought a message of hope to all mankind. I pray, Father, this morning as we examine your scriptures that you would speak to us. God, that anyone here who does not yet know Christ as his or her personal Savior would realize that their only hope is not found in religion, it's not found in man, but it's found in the person of Jesus Christ. And God, for those of us who already are saved, who are already putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, may we have our hearts stirred afresh to do more for you in light of Jesus Christ's soon return. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Why is it that many in our churches today can come week after week without ever sensing the moving of the Holy Spirit in their lives? How can we see many who can go through the motions and never feel an ounce of obligation or commitment that would manifest itself in true devotion? How do we define this? Apathy. Someone has said, hate is not the opposite of love. Apathy is. And this morning, I would like for us to examine this subject in light of what God's word would teach us. When I think of the word apathy, I'm reminded of the story of the man who had taught high school just long enough to realize that he should not have been teaching high school. He was assigned to teach a course that was filled with students who did not want to learn. Imagine that. In fact, it was one of those classes where you had to arrive very early to go ahead and get the back seat in the classroom. And a couple of the students got there so late that they were stuck all the way down front. They couldn't care less what the subject was. The teacher finally got fed up with all of their apathy and he grabbed a piece of chalk, whirled around to the chalkboard and began to write away in big foot-high letters, A-P-A-T-H-Y. And he underlined it twice and slammed an exclamation point at the end of it and broke the chalk as he threw it against the board. One of the dull students up front frowned as he struggled to read the word, and unable to pronounce it, he tilted his head to one side as he started spelling it and then mispronounced it aloud. He leaned over and muttered to his buddy, "What in the world is apathy?" And his friend yawned back with a sigh, "Who cares?" Don't we think about what God's desire for us today? He wants us to care. He wants us to be concerned. He wants us to realize the joys of serving God and of walking with Him. And as we look at our passage this morning, I'd like for us to look at it through the eyes of the apathetic. The one who would say, why bother serving God? Why bother coming to church? Why bother reading my Bible? Why bother giving my tithes and offerings? That we might find an example here in the words of the Apostle Paul as he wrote to us under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. You think of causes of apathy. It's not necessarily due to a lack of strength, but oftentimes it's simply due to a lack of care, a lack of concern for others. It's not that I don't have the ability to help others. It's not that I don't have the ability to make an impact. It's that I'm not interested in making an impact. There may be those who have disappointed me. Maybe I had all of my hope and trust in a friend or perhaps even someone at church. And I knew that they were going to help me and guide me and lead me, and now they're nowhere to be found. Maybe it's due to situations that I have encountered. Perhaps I've gone out and I've tried to witness to others and I've been rejected. And as a result of that, I don't like rejection, so I just won't bother. I won't waste my time. Maybe it's due to going out and being disappointed not only in people and in circumstances, but perhaps even to some extent in God. You know, I prayed about this for a long time, and I knew that this was what was right, and I knew this was what God ought to do, and God let me down. So after all, if God has disappointed me, if my circumstances have disappointed me, if my friends have disappointed me, who cares? Sometimes it may be due to distractions as another cause of apathy. Though you might look back and examine the time when you came to know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior and how excited you were about everything that had to do with God, whether it was church or the Bible or soul winning. And then now you've got other responsibilities, and now at work they've required you to work longer hours and they've given you extra responsibilities that you did not have prior to that. And now your home is a little more demanding, and so you've got to help with your spouse and help with your children, and I really just got other things going on. Or perhaps some friends have come to you who perhaps don't know the Lord as their Savior, and they've encouraged you to get involved and spend your free time in activities with them, whether it's a sport or a hobby or whatever else it may be. And these factors have contributed as distractions to your service to God. Ultimately, we realize it's a lack of motivation. You know, a lot of people today have the idea, whatever. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, I know they're going to do this, and I know this is going on at the church, but whatever. Yeah, I know the youth director has invited us out to this activity and given us this opportunity to go out and have a good time together. Whatever. Yeah, I know this is what they're talking about from choir, and they've got this special program going on, and the Christmas musical. Well, whatever. And if we're not careful, apathy can creep into the heart of the child of God. You know, sometimes when we think about apathy, we tend to throw all of that burden on the unsaved, on those who don't know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And certainly, apart from Jesus Christ, there's not a whole lot to worry about in this life. There's not a whole lot of things that would get our attention of any eternal value. But praise God, when we come to know Christ as our personal Savior, we realize there's a whole lot worth living for out there. There's a whole lot of exciting things that God will bless us with today as I serve Him and throughout all of eternity. This morning in our foundations class, we've enjoyed looking at lasting works that a husband can do in the home. Things that will be as precious stones, as gold and silver, not as wood, hay, and stubble. And it is a wonderful joy to realize that God is watching over us and God is going to reward all of our service that is done for Him. You know, when you think of lack of motivation, we can even become concerned and yet refuse to take action. Now, you may hear something or read something that reminds you of the needs to go out and reach this lost world with the gospel. You may have the Holy Spirit speak to your heart and challenge you in a particular area of your life that is falling short. You may be mindful of the fact that you need to pray more for your lost friends and relatives, that you need to pray more for God to use you. And you may know that you need to do that, and yet just not have the motivation to take action, to change your schedule, to make more time for prayer, to make more time for Bible reading, to put church attendance at the top priority that it ought to be so that you can be everything that God wants you to be. Of course, another cause of apathy, in addition to lack of motivation, distractions, and disappointments, can simply be a lack of responsibility. Maybe you have not been as involved as you should be. So you say, well, nobody needs me. Nobody notices if I'm there or not there. Why bother? Nobody's going to call me this week. No one's going to send me a card. What difference does it make? And because you don't have any responsibilities, then you don't care about being faithful to the Lord. Because you're not involved in different ministries and serving God, you're just week after week warming a pew, and, you know, you could warm your living room sofa just as easily. There are some characteristics of apathy as well. And this is what we find here manifested in our text. The dictionary defines apathy in two ways: lack of feeling or emotion, or impassiveness, or lack of interest or concern, also known as indifference. We see here in our passage that if we're not careful, we can develop an attitude of indifference toward others. Look at what the Bible says in verse 1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. How does indifference toward others manifest itself? I believe it's through a casual approach to God, the Christian life. Now, when we think about coming to know Christ as our personal Savior and realizing that we are saved solely by the grace of God, that has absolutely nothing to do with anything of my own works, but it's the work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, we have at that moment in time all the strength that we need to live for God if we will continue to walk with Him. And as we continue to walk with Him, we will become stronger in the Lord. And as Paul reminds us, to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And that will continue to occur. We are all capable of being as strong as God wants us to be. There is no one who can say before God this morning, "Lord, you have forgotten. I have this spiritual deficiency for which there is no cure." But what happens is we treat lightly the Word of God. We can hear and see what God expects of us, and we say, "Well, that's for another time. That's for another person. That's for another place. That's not for me." We open God's Word and we can hear it taught and preached, and we can look at it ourselves, and it's simply ink on a page. It's simply sound going in one ear and out the other. And that's why when the Holy Spirit attempts to speak to us, we've turned Him off. We've told Him no. We've said, "We're too busy. We have other things going on." And that's why when it comes time to putting our priorities in the right place as to whether or not we're going to honor God and His house, we can very quickly have not only a casual approach, but a carefree attitude. Now, I can miss this week, and I can miss next week, and then I'll make it up the following week. But you know, the one thing that we always forget is that every day that I do not live for God, every day that God is not absolutely number one in my life, is a day for which I will never be able to recover. Amen. I will never be able to go back and relive those 24 hours for God. Oh, sure, I can go to the Lord and praise God. I can have my sins forgiven. I can confess that to Him. But He will not say, "All right, now we'll turn back the hands of time and will allow you to go back and relive those wasted years and take advantage of those wasted opportunities." But you see, we can forget about the infirmities of the weak. We can forget about the needs of other people around us, because as we become indifferent towards others, we also become indifferent toward God. Sure, we believe in God. We can look back to a time when we put our faith and trust in Him, but God is almost like the lucky rabbit's foot. I've got Him in my pocket, and so now the rest really doesn't matter. Now that I'm saved, I can do what I want. I can live as I please. And sure, I know I'm going to heaven someday, and I can give you all the right answers, but God, yes, I know He's there, but I'm not too worried about it right now, because after all, I have this project that's due at work, and I have this stress upon me because of what's happening with the economy, and I've got all these other things to worry about, and yeah, no big deal about God. And of course, the end result of all of this is a heightened focus on ourselves. You see, he gives them this instruction to think about others and not to please ourselves, he says. Charles Hodge writes in his commentary on Romans, "We are not to do everything which we may have a right to do and make our own gratification the rule by which we exercise our Christian liberty." But I think a lot of Christians today are concerned about pleasing themselves. And that's why when there is an opportunity to get involved, to serve, we think, now let me see, what else do I have going on? What are the other things that I've got to do? And if I can fit God in, and if it's convenient, then maybe I'll give him a little bit of my time. And if I can fit God into my daily schedule, maybe I'll make time for Bible reading and prayer. But if I can't, well, then God will just have to sit in the back burner. Because, after all, I want to do what I want to do. You know, so many times Christians come to a place in their lives where they say, "God, here is my will for my life. Now, if you don't mind, just go ahead and put your John Hancock on it and give me that stamp and seal of approval." And we don't go and say, "God, what is your will for my life? And now, Lord, help me to change everything necessary in my life so that the direction that I will be heading is your will and not mine."
Amen.
And how exciting it is that when we can make those decisions and we can follow the Lord's leading in our lives, we can relate to others and we can be concerned about others' needs. Now, when you think about the infirmities, where do the infirmities of the weak come from? They come from a weakness of faith. Not truly believing that God is who he says he is. Not truly believing that God cares about my need, about my situation, about my struggle. And not trusting God to meet those needs. But trying to take things into our own hands and figure them out according to our own ways. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, "To the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." Who are you trying to please today? You know, did you come to church this morning because, well, wasn't much going on and football games haven't started this early in the morning, so I have to wait and do that in the afternoon. And after all, I've got these other things here. And so, yeah, I had this spare time, this free time. Or did you come to church this morning because you wanted to please God? Because you knew God wanted you to be in his house today. What is the cure for apathy? If I look around and I'm not to please myself, how can I be what God wants me to be? First of all, I have to realize my power. Again, the power that I have is not mine, but it is the Lord's power that he gives to me. And as I realize that power, then I will recognize my position. I can be strong in the Lord. I don't have to be weak. I don't have to maintain a spiritual immaturity for months or years to come. But I can today be everything God wants me to be as God gives me his strength to accomplish his perfect will for my life. But it's up to me to go back to the Lord and to ask him for that strength. And certainly I need to remember what my purpose is. My purpose is, in part, to please others and not to please myself. It says here in verse 2, "Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification." Look back in chapter 14 in verse 19. The Bible says, "Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another." Now think about this morning when you were getting up and getting ready for church. Were you seeking to please your spouse in the way you talked to them, the way you treated them? Were you seeking to please your children in the way you encourage them and help them? Or did you push them and shove them? Now, when you think about seeking to be what God wants us to be, this matter of edification has to be every day of my life, not looking at number one, but looking at everybody else. How can I help others? Paul writes in Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And as I remember my purpose in pleasing others, ultimately, it is to glorify God. Look with me at what he says here in verse 6. That ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I praise God that when we talk about doing what God wants us to do, I can please God tomorrow in the office just as much as I can please God today here in God's house. I can please God tomorrow at home just as much as I please God the next day out on visitation. But the key is for me to do it always with the right motive, with the right attitude. Lord, I'm going out here not because I want others to see me, but rather I want others to see my Savior. God, I'm seeking to be the best example I can be in my workplace, in the classroom, in my community, that others will in turn come and glorify God and say there's something different about her. There's something different about him. I want to know more about it. I want to learn how to be more like whatever he has. And of course, as we recognize our position and remember our purpose, the ultimate hope comes in reading God's plan. Look with me in verse 4 where he says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. The world can paint plenty of dark, grim pictures for us of people who have seemingly everything go wrong in their lives. And if we're not careful and we begin to concentrate on that and we begin to see things go wrong and we begin to see others struggle and we begin to see others go through hard times, it can cause us to say, well, what's the use? Why bother? Why should I care? And that's why it's absolutely essential that the child of God develop the habit as soon as he is born into the family of God of looking into the Word of God every single day and receiving from God what is our daily bread. Amen. You know what's wonderful is as you look into God's Word, you can find strength. You can find there is reason to keep on keeping on. There is a hope that is out there. It's found in the God of hope and the message of hope that he has in this book. But ask yourself, this last week, the past 7 days, how many days did you go by without opening this book? You see, if I'm going to be what God wants me to be and I'm going to help others, I've got to be in his word, because here is how I get my strength. Here is how I can be what God wants me to be. Here is how I can be used by the Lord. But I'm fooling myself if I think I can come to God's house and get my once a week dose on Sunday morning and that's going to last me for the next 7 days. No, my comfort, my strength to keep on keeping on comes from day in and day out. Going back to the Word of God and seeking to meditate on it. The psalmist said, oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. And ultimately, we must be mindful of the fact that Jesus cares for you. We must never lose sight of the fact that nothing of what Jesus suffered was for himself. Look with me here in verse 3 where the Bible says, for even Christ pleased not himself, But as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Jesus suffered your reproaches and mine when he died on the cross. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 24, who his own self bare whose sins? Our sins. In his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Jesus cares. He cared when 2,000 years ago he voluntarily gave his life so that your sins and mine could be forgiven once and for all. And he still cares today just as much as he did before the foundation of the world. But in light of the fact that Jesus cares, you and I need to make sure on a daily basis we thank God for the strength to get up in the morning. We thank God for a Savior who knows about our needs even before we ask Him. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, but when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. He cares. He knows the struggles you're facing. He knows the difficulties you have. Songwriter said, does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth or song? As the burdens press and the cares distress and the way grows weary and long, does Jesus care when my way is dark with a nameless dread and fear? As the daylight fades into deep night shades, does he care enough to be near? Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. So I can get rid of this apathy in my life by being mindful of the fact that Jesus cares about me. But also look down in verse 12 where we see another reason to get rid of this apathy is because Jesus is coming back soon. He says, and again, Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles. In him shall the Gentiles trust. You know what's so exciting about looking at economic struggles, about political turmoil, about problems on a global scale, is it all points to the fact that Jesus Christ must be coming back soon. Amen. Now, I'm not foolish enough to try here this morning and give you a date, but I can tell you this, it behooves every single man, woman, boy, and girl to be as active as possible in serving God, in keeping Him first in our lives, because He could come back before this message is over. That's how soon his return could be. Paul writes to Titus in Titus chapter 2 and in verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I can't wait till Jesus comes back to this earth and rules and reigns for 1,000 years. I can't wait till everything that we see in the book of Revelation is played out right before our eyes. But I tell you this, I don't want to be caught off guard in a moment of apathy, thinking about myself, trying to please myself, trying to do what I want to do, and not doing what God wants me to do, because I don't want to be held accountable for that when Jesus comes. You know, when we think about being accountable, A.W. Tozer once wrote, contentment with earthly goods is the mark of a saint. Contentment with our spiritual state is a mark of inward blindness. One of the greatest foes of the Christian is religious complacency. Orthodox Christianity has fallen to its present lowest state from lack of spiritual desire. Among the many who profess the Christian faith, scarcely one in a thousand reveals any passionate thirst for God. I praise God that in our church we have many people who have a thirst and passion for God. But wouldn't it be wonderful if every person in here had a thirst and passion for God? Wouldn't it be wonderful if every single one of us were consumed day in and day out with pleasing not ourselves, but pleasing our God, glorifying Him, doing His will, walking with Him, seeking to spread the message of salvation to everyone with whom we come in contact? But you know, none of us are going to live forever on this earth. Yet we all will live forever somewhere, either in heaven or in hell. And this morning, souls are dying and need the message of the gospel. The message of a Savior who cares for them. Peter reminds us in 1 Peter 3 and verse 15, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." For those who are saved, any disappointments we have encountered on this earth will fade from our memories compared with an eternity in the presence of Christ our Savior. Sure, I'm sure there are plenty more disappointments that are yet awaiting both you and me. But I don't have to allow that to cause me to have an attitude of apathy. I don't have to allow that to cause me to withdraw from my service to God. But rather, I renew my commitment to God. I strengthen my desire to serve Him. I seek to please my neighbor and ultimately to glorify my God. But you know, if you're a child of God this morning and you're saved, you cannot relinquish your responsibility to live for Him. In Romans 14, verse 7, the Bible says, "For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's." You see, I don't belong to myself. And in recognition of the stewardship of my life for God, I know that someday I am going to stand and give an account before the Lord. And that's why it behooves me right now to make certain that I'm walking for Him, so that when I am face to face with Him, I will not be ashamed at His coming. Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians, "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?" In chapter 6 and verse 19. Today, every single one of us must remember, we're not here by chance. We can't have an apathetic, careless attitude towards God, towards His house, towards His Word. Our time on this earth is very limited in comparison with all of eternity. You take the person who lived the longest, and his life is but a blink of an eye in comparison to all of eternity. And that's why it's so absolutely critical that we shake off all forms of apathy and wholeheartedly embrace our mission to reach this world for Christ and to glorify God. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer.